Hello, this is Dr. Wendy Hill, and welcome to Understanding Why We Suffer. There are those who will tell you that you can be happy all the time, that you should aspire to the pursuit of being happy all the time. They may say, in fact, that you have a right to feel cheated if you don't achieve the noble goal of continual happiness. This suggests that you can and even should experience life without any suffering. Such a thought misses a great and wise insight about your life. Your pain and suffering is nature's way of protecting you from your own delusions. It is the great loving wise one's way within yourself of waking you up to who you really are. If you listen to your pain, it may force you to examine yourself and motivate you to change. The changes you make may move you to choose ways of thinking, feeling, and behaving that are closer to that which is wise and loving. It's for this reason that pain can be known as the sacred wound. Don't be ashamed of your pain, but don't use it either as a way to manipulate others. Accept your pain as a part of the way things are. Remember that there is nothing wrong with you because you suffer. Nor does it make you particularly holy. It's simply a fact of life. Sometimes you may be under the delusion that you're supposed to have already learned your lessons. You may become depressed or in conflict about something, but there's nothing wrong with you. You are a human being in the process of becoming enlightened. Your pain is your teacher. Listen closely to your pain, whether it be physical, psychological, spiritual, or social. All pain has something to teach. All uncomfortable conditions and situations offer a deeper wisdom. The ultimate lessons your pain is trying to reveal to you is always positive. Perhaps there are conditions you can recall that may seem to have no apparent positive lesson. And yet, observe the impossible situations people have endured that have brought ultimate joy if the lesson is learned. People with life-threatening disease, people who are imprisoned, people who have lost all their loved ones from war, fire, disease, or other disasters, all have the opportunity to become enlightened by their experience. Your personal view of pain will determine your view of your Creator. Either you will see that which has made the laws of life and nature as punishing and vindictive, or you will see the sense in suffering and know your Creator to be wise and loving. Seeing the sense in suffering, or at least having faith in the ultimate sense in suffering, allows you to have inner peace. It allows you to accept conditions and people as they are. Learn the difference between your original pain and your cover-up pain. Your original pain is your reaction to a central and core malfunction in your beliefs about yourself and others. Your cover-up pain is the pain you feel as a result of your decision to escape feeling and taking responsibility for your original core problem. This secondary pain is the pain you most often experience. It wants to lead you to your core pain. If you listen, you will move closer to resolution and enlightenment. If you don't listen, you will attempt to continue the cover-up and create still more pain as a result. Often this pain is more uncomfortable than the original core pain. Don't insist on remaining in unnecessary pain. It may be a habit learned in childhood. Learn to discriminate as to how to suffer and what pains to suffer. Suffering compulsively over cover-up pain only delays your journey to enlightenment. This is senseless pain. I call it unhealthy suffering. If you are caught in a lifestyle of senseless, unhealthy suffering, begin to question the wisdom of your suffering. it's likely that you have not allowed yourself to go into your original wound. Don't fight your pain. Instead, move through it. Experience it. Acknowledge it. Admit it to yourself. And then observe the direction your pain is wanting to lead you. Listen to the message of the pain. Is it telling you to change your attitude? Is it telling you to change your behavior? Where in yourself does it lead? It's trying to tell you something. Only your deep self knows the answer. Trust what your deep self is saying and follow it. Allow your pain to humble you. Allow it to knock you to your knees, to the ground, to your depths if necessary. Then you will learn the wisdom of your pain. From the ashes of your desperation arise the phoenix of your truth. Don't defend. Surrender. When it comes to pain, have no pride. Use your will to find the truth hidden behind your pain. Don't use your will to avoid being uncomfortable. When you've learned your lesson, prepare for a personal experience of deeper intimacy with yourself and others. Prepare to know the bittersweet nature of life on this earth and the exquisite perfection of knowledge learned from your own sacred wounds. Let's talk about the pain of loneliness. Loneliness is a fact of life. Loneliness is not just the experience of being alone. Loneliness can be felt well with another or with many. Loneliness is the resulting experience of separation from the self. Therefore, loneliness is universally experienced by all of us. Until we've learned to connect continuously with the great loving wise one within ourselves, we are all prone to loneliness. Most attempt to deal with loneliness through escape. We're all familiar with our own escape strategies. Practically anything can be used as an escape. Substance abuse, work, sex, play, food, and TV. These are some fairly obvious escapes. But what about using books, friends, playing, religion, psychology, or even giving as an escape? Perhaps it's not so much the activity as it is how the activity is practiced. Most of us don't see loneliness as an opportunity to connect with the self. Actually, it is. Consider this. If your first impulse when you feel a twinge of loneliness is to increase the intensity of whatever you're doing, work, think, plan, play, or even use an addiction, there may be an alternative reaction that may benefit you more. It may not feel initially as good, but it does have the potential for a greater sense of well-being. That alternative is to feel your loneliness and see what it's telling you, where it wants to take you. Just be with it. Resist for a little while the impulse to escape. As a child or teenager, you may have had many lonely hours and days. You may wish to escape the memory of having those awful feelings again. But remember this. You are no longer a child or a teen. You, as an adult, and as a student of this work, have tools, skills, and insights you didn't have then. Loneliness then was not helpful or productive, but it can be now. Explore your loneliness a little more in depth with these questions. What normal life activities do you abuse in order to avoid loneliness? Do you secretly view loneliness as unhealthy or as meaning that you're unworthy? How can you use loneliness as an opening door to yourself? Are you willing to just sit and feel your loneliness next time? Are you willing to ask yourself to be patient and find out where your loneliness can take you? Did you know that your loneliness can be the very inspiration you need to balance your life or move on to a greater discovery or invention? Did you know that you've missed out on much joy because your refusal to face and feel your loneliness? Are you willing now to talk honestly about your loneliness? Are you willing to be down to earth about it and not just philosophical? Loneliness can be the creative inspiration that can connect you with your very essence and cause you to transform yourself and others for the better. Now let's talk about the non-negotiable and healthy suffering. The non-negotiable is a powerful agreement you make with yourself to help you with specific life challenges. It's a sacred promise you make to yourself. Once committed to, the non-negotiable gives you the freedom to do the right thing without argument, procrastination, or denial. In other words, once you make the promise to yourself, you no longer are tempted to renegotiate your way out of it. Making a non-negotiable agreement with yourself is a statement to yourself that you are taking full responsibility for your well-being. You will no longer rely on anyone or anything else to make you behave. You will no longer see yourself as a victim of circumstances or a victim of your own weakness. You will know yourself as a victorious warrior. Non-negotiables can be made regarding your habits, your health, your interactions with others, or any behavior or attitude that you wish to attain. Here are some examples. You can use the non-negotiable to commit to daily exercise, to telling others what you want, to quit an addiction, to use win-win communication, to pay your bills on time, to follow spiritual practices such as meditation or prayer. You can use the non-negotiable in any way in your life, no matter how big or how small. It empowers you to do what you may not have the self-discipline to do otherwise. The following are the steps to making a non-negotiable agreement with yourself. Step 1. Engender a sincere desire to change your behavior. This desire must be backed by the realization that without the non-negotiable, you'll probably fail. In fact, you may have already failed many times in the past. So you must be willing to admit to your limitations. Sometimes desire to change comes from feelings of despair or a simple realization that unless you change, you'll remain the same as always. If you can't feel that deep-down sincere desire to do it, then let it go until you do. Wait until you find your righteous anger at being at the mercy of your bad habits and attitudes. I'd like to share with you how I use the non-negotiable to quit an addiction. Before I quit smoking many years ago, I had attempted to quit and failed many times. I felt guilty and helpless in the face of the addiction. From time to time, I sought help from others, but always failed. I was scared that I would remain a helpless addict for the rest of my life. My fear and guilt were real, and I used them to find the anger I needed to motivate me. Step 2. Admit to yourself how much you've been in denial, have pampered yourself, been clueless, or been self-indulgent. Admit to all the reasons you've not kept your promises to yourself. Take a close look at the hidden benefits of your old behavior. Now make a list. The years I spent as a smoker, I was unaware of how much I used smoking to comfort myself and to control anxiety. A hidden benefit was that smoking made me independent from those who would like to control me. Another hidden benefit was how I could escape feeling emotions I didn't want to feel by picking up and lighting a cigarette. I was in denial of how much it was harming me. I didn't think I had any power over my thoughts, emotions, or behavior. I allowed the impulse to smoke to rule my life. The closer I examined my motive to remain a smoker, the more empowered I became to take responsibility. I was angry that something like this could control my life. This kind of anger is a good motivator and is a major contributor to warrior spirit. Step 3. Make a list of how your life will be different after you achieve your goal. See the positive effect your commitment will have on others. You might be amazed at how your changed behavior will positively challenge and influence others. When I was preparing to quit smoking, I had to continually remind myself of all the ways life would be better as a non-smoker. And it was. Step 4. Become clear what healthy suffering you will have to endure when you make your commitment. Healthy suffering is the discomfort you experience for a righteous cause. Unhealthy suffering is the discomfort you experience as a result of avoiding your healthy suffering. For example, quitting smoking is for a good cause, but doing so can cause major discomfort, even physical suffering. This kind of suffering is healthy because it leads to a noble conclusion. Continuing to smoke can cause respiratory failure and cancer and early death. Suffering far greater than the healthy suffering experienced when quitting smoking. Make a list of the things that will cause you difficulty and discomfort when you commit to your goal. Then, ask yourself if you're willing to endure these discomforts. Be absolutely truthful with yourself. When you answer a clear yes, then you're ready to make the promise to yourself. Use your warrior spirit to give you the determination and courage to endure. When I made the non-negotiable with myself to quit smoking, I knew I would become difficult to live with, gain weight, and suffer really awful bouts of addiction craving. But I said yes to all of it. When they hit with a vengeance, it was my warrior spirit and my willingness to endure that suffering that enabled me to succeed. Only this non-negotiable set me free to quit permanently. You can do this. Remember, doing most difficult things are best done a little step at a time. Don't overload your agenda to change yourself. Give yourself the time and space to do what you need to do, one step at a time. Oh, and remember about mistakes. They don't define you.